Saturday Night Theatre.
Straight at her.
Well, come on, give her air.
He don't need it.
Nice welcome to Spain. Step off the ship and the first thing you see is a road accident.
No.
Stop shoving.
Go.
Let her through.
Please, let her through.
Oh,
where's the police?
I
thought this country was crawling with them.
Nothing to see,
Mrs.
Jack.
Jack.
It is
Jack. You know her, then?
She's our daughter.
The Spanish Package by James Follett, with Irene Sutcliffe as Jane and Michael Harbour as Peter. The Spanish Package.
I got out of the car when she came out of the arrivals terminal. She saw me and waved. She went down the steps and was halfway across the road when the grey Volkswagen seemed to appear from nowhere. It swerved towards Claire, hit her, and drove off. I didn't get its number because its lights were out. Well, that's a pretty free translation back into English of your statement to the Guardia. Now then, Jane, your statement reads, we were watching the football match on the car's TV when...
It's all right, I'll sign it.
Thanks for coming out so quickly, Alan.
Like all consulate parties, it was boring. Anyway, it's as well to know what you're being asked to sign. I'm terribly sorry about what's happened tonight. I can't express...
I suppose the Guardia and the municipal police are looking for him.
Well, they've set up checkpoints all round Alicante. Look, would you like me to drive you back to Calpe? I can easily get a taxi back here.
Well, we don't want to put the consulate out.
Oh, I'll do it as a friend.
It's kind of you. We'll manage.
There's something the Guardia are worried about. I told the Brigado I'd try to clear it up with you. Claire's passport. Now, you've been retired and living in Spain for, what, 7 years now?
Yeah. Well, what's wrong?
Look, Claire's come out to see you each year for the past 7 years, except last year. Mm. I remember how disappointed you were when she said that she couldn't come.
Yes.
She always books a one-week package holiday in Benidorm and then stays with us instead of at a hotel.
Well, that tallies with her passport, except for today.
Now, what are you driving at?
She definitely said that she'd be flying into Alicante on one of today's flights.
We saw her leave the terminal.
Oh, can you remember the name of the tour operator?
Well, no.
Why didn't you go into the terminal to meet her?
She said not to in her last letter. There was a chance her flight would be late.
Well, what the hell's all this got to do with Claire being killed by a maniac hit-and-run driver?
Entrada Alicante and today's date is not stamped in Claire's passport.
So what? With 300 people swarming off a DC-10...
No, Peter, as you well know, every visitor is channeled past the immigration desk and they all have their passports stamped.
Well, have you checked every page?
I went through it page by page with the Brigado.
They can't blame us for their mistake and they certainly can't blame Claire.
Look, these are the passenger lists for all today's flights from the UK into Alicante. Claire's name doesn't appear anywhere. The Guardia Civil want to know how she got into the country and why.
Look, Morris, as I've told you time and time again, details like that are your concern. I pay you to run the agency, and that means that I don't want to be bothered with your employee discipline problems. I don't care. Now, that's entirely a matter for the client and yourself. Yes. Yes. Let me have a progress report next week. Bye.
What did Morris want?
After 7 years running a shipping and forwarding agency, he still tries to unload responsibilities onto me.
I'd like to talk.
No, conversation or argument?
About Claire.
Argument.
We should return home to settle her affairs.
Her sort of affairs will settle themselves by her absence.
You're being callous.
Practical. She was 29. Well, I've no intention of travelling back to London just to settle an unpaid North Sea gas bill.
Your own daughter.
When? During school holidays from that frightful boarding school while I was living in London building up the agency. I can hardly remember having a daughter. As far as you can. You were always keen enough to pack her off to summer camp when there was the slightest danger of having her round your neck for more than 1 week at a time.
I don't suppose you've noticed I've been crying.
All right, so you're feeling a bit guilty. So am I. But it's not going to do any good, is it?
I don't see how you can accuse me. You weren't much of a father.
I'm not accusing you of anything. I wanted a smart wife. I didn't want someone chained to a kitchen. I remember what you said when she was born.
All right.
And you made damn certain there wouldn't be any more.
As usual, you managed to put everything into an uncomfortable nutshell in your inimitable blunt fashion.
Sorry?
It's just that attitudes change as you get older. What are we going to do about her body?
That's more like my Jane. Down to practicality.
Will you stop trying to make me lose my temper?
Sorry.
Well?
We'll have the funeral here in Calpe.
I thought perhaps we ought to have her shipped home.
Oh, you're off again. Peter, Claire will be 16 next year. Don't you think 3 years in Switzerland...
Oh, for Christ's sake. If you can't...
Hello there. Maria said you were by the pool.
Hello, Alan. Help yourself to a drink.
Oh, thanks.
Good morning, Alan. You came in time to prevent a major battle developing.
All part of the training.
The consulate giving you the day off or something?
Or something. Needed that.
You'll stay for lunch?
Oh, save me having to invite myself. Do you know there's a girl bathing topless down there?
French. The Guardia have given up their beach patrols.
Oh. They haven't found the driver of that VW.
We didn't really expect them to.
May I have a peek through your telescope?
Help yourself.
Good Lord. There's two of them.
What do you expect if she's topless?
Two girls. The Guardia cleared up the mystery of how Claire got into the country. She drove from Le Havre, crossed the frontier at the Col du Portalet, one of the least used routes across the Pyrenees, and parked her car in the car park in front of Alicante Airport the day before she was due to meet you.
But that's impossible. Claire, she can't drive.
And she hasn't got a car.
Looks like she was keeping it as a surprise. I drove it here.
But...
9-month-old Minnie. All the extras, too. 8-track stereo, tinted glass, sunshine roof. Well, come and have a look if you don't believe me. There she is. Less than 7,000 on the clock. And 1,000 of that used to get here. Smart, eh?
Look, there must be a mistake, Alan. We saw her leave the arrivals terminal.
Mm-mm. No mistake. She kept all the car's papers in the glove compartment. Now, look. Logbook in Claire's name. Green car. Right, and her Townsend Thorison Southampton Le Havre car ferry ticket.
May I see that ticket, please?
Seems that Claire had something to hide.
She landed at Le Havre 4 days before we saw her at Alicante. And her return crossing is for 4 days after we were supposed to run her back to the airport.
Well, it's a 1,000-mile drive to Le Havre.
Yeah, but why? Why should she go to all that trouble of pretending to have arrived by air?
I'll tell Maria to serve lunch by the pool. Will you help me with the sunshade, please, Peter?
No, I have a theory. No more, thanks. She's only been driving a year, right? She's got a new car, wants to drive to Spain, but doesn't want to worry you because she's not an experienced driver. So, she drives to Alicante Airport, parks the car, and emerges from the arrivals terminal at the time she's arranged for you to meet her.
I doubt very much if Claire would worry about us being worried. No, I doubt if we would worry anyway.
Oh, really? I thought you were a close-knit family.
I would worry.
You wouldn't, my love. You would like yourself and everyone else to think that you'd worry.
Well, she's back. Can I use the telescope again?
You don't know how I feel.
You'll have to export the Mini back to the UK if you don't want to be clobbered for Spanish taxes on it.
Not even Alan is honest. He pretends he wants the telescope to ogle girls on the beach, yet he's got it trained on those two men standing by that parked car.
One of them looks surprised. Now, it must be a shock to watch someone through a pair of high-powered binoculars only to discover that he's staring right back with an even more powerful telescope.
One of the hazards of being in the diplomatic service.
I was wondering why Claire didn't visit you last year.
Well, she said that she couldn't afford the fare.
I didn't know that.
Well, she wrote.
I don't remember the letter.
I think it was a postcard.
I'd have sent her money.
Well, that's why I didn't show it to you. If Claire really wanted to see us last year, she would have made the effort. A one-week package isn't that expensive.
What the hell's that got to do with it? You know I always look forward to her visits.
Just ignore me if you two want a set to.
You know how disappointed I was when she said she couldn't come.
Now, you could have written to her. Now, don't go taking it out on me just because you're a lousy letter writer, sweetheart.
I'll help Maria with the dishes. No, no, I can manage, thank you.
Oh, sorry about that, Alan. More wine? We don't usually go for each other all the time. But lately,
it's dented my image of you two blissfully sharing the autumn of your years together.
The trouble is that we didn't share our lives with Claire. Now that she's gone, we both feel guilty because we're not eaten up with grief and remorse. I'm much to blame, really. I've always thought that Claire should stand on her own feet, fight her own way in the world.
As you had to?
Yes.
Tough on a girl. It's hard to see you as the heavy father.
I wasn't any sort of father.
No, I enjoyed driving that Mini. My first car was a Mini, and my first love was in one. We've suffered in the 60s.
You're beating about one of your bushes.
Now, the starter was a bit sluggish, but I expect that's because it's been standing so long in the car park. Well, the drive from Alicante should have pepped the battery up.
You're being evasive.
It's about Claire. Something the police have found out. Look, I'm not really supposed to tell you, but I think you ought to know.
Jane, are you asleep?
No.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter.
Alan told me something about Claire.
What?
Did you hear that? It sounds like someone downstairs.
Oh, it can't be. Maria's at her mother's tonight.
Shh.
Sounds as if it's coming from the garage.
Yes, well, that's what I thought.
Can you see anything?
It's too dark. Yes. There's someone down there. Look at the bedroom door behind me.
Peter, you ought to call the police. Don't you try tackling him by yourself.
You call them while I nap.
Oh, you mustn't, Peter. Please.
Look, go into the garage from the laundry room and jump him when he breaks in. You call the police. Don't worry. I'll have the advantage of surprise.
He might have the advantage of a crowbar.
Get back into the laundry room. Go on, do as I say. Come on, my friend. Come on. Now release the bar. That's it. Now pull the door open. Come on, lad. Now then.
But no concussion. The surgeon thought he was tough for his age.
How long are they keeping him in for?
Until tomorrow. There was blood everywhere, but it wasn't as bad as it looked. I thought he was dead.
Well, I didn't mean to sound unsympathetic, but let's hope it's knocked some sense into him. Didn't it occur to either of you that if you must tackle a burglar at night, to at least shine a torch in his eyes before trying to clobber him?
It doesn't happen often enough for us to perfect the technique. Were you serious about being followed yesterday?
Well, the two men who were following me were.
Maybe they were interested in the Mini, and not you.
Of course they were interested in me. I'm an embassy official. That makes me fascinated.
To whom?
Well, I'm not sure, really.
What was it you told Peter about Claire yesterday?
Oh, hasn't Peter told you?
He was interrupted by our visitor.
Well, I think it's something you should hear from Peter.
Something to do with the Alicante Guardia Civil.
Well, in a way, yes. Well, I really do think it's Peter who...
I want to know. Now. Please, Alan.
Well,
Well, as he was going to tell you anyway. In hit-and-run cases like Claire's, the police get a pathologist to carry out a careful examination to determine the cause of death. I saw the report lying on the brigada's desk. It was very detailed. I can read Spanish upside down. It said that Claire appeared to have had a baby during the past 12 months.
I see.
I wasn't sure whether or not she might have told you.
No. Well, I suppose that explains why she didn't come to see us last year.
I thought she'd be shocked.
I'd like you to go now, Alan. I'd like to think.
Well, supposing a visitor turns up again?
I'll flash a torch in his eyes. Now, please, Alan, I'd be very grateful if you went. I want to think.
Jane, will you please stop fussing? I'm all right if I'm left alone.
Your pills. 2 each day for a week. Drink.
Oh. Well, at least they're not suppositories. The hospitals at home could halve their waiting lists for beds if they introduced them. Introduced them. Ooh. You served me right for laughing at my own jokes.
Is that what you call them?
Do you suppose that character down on the beach is the one who cracked me over the head?
Mm-hmm.
You see him? He's got a pair of binoculars hidden under his newspaper. A British newspaper. Now his friends joined him. I have a good mind to take a stroll down there and have it out with them.
You're not strolling anywhere. I want you on your feet as soon as possible.
Why? I thought you liked having me immobile.
So that you won't be too much of a nuisance to Maria. I'm going home for a few days. Now, no, don't look so horrified.
But you can't.
You'll be all right for a few days. Maria will look after you.
Well, she'll revert to paellas and olive oil in the salad as soon as your back's turned.
I've made up my mind.
Now, look, love. Claire probably had the kid adopted.
We don't know, and I won't find out here.
I knew from your purposeful air that you'd come to a momentous decision of some sort. I thought it was the new colours for the bedrooms.
I'm serious.
Which means it's going to take longer than usual to talk you out of it.
You won't.
Because you've booked a flight?
No.
Well, then how do you expect to get home?
Driving.
Driving what?
Claire's Mini. Oh, it's got to be exported anyway. I'll allow you a minute's grumbling and then the subject's closed.
Well, you have to book weeks in advance to get on the Bilbao or Santander car ferries in August.
I'm not going via Bilbao or Santander.
And San Sebastian?
Le Havre.
You're crazy. Driving right up through France. It's 1,100 miles.
1,066. I shall allow myself 3 days.
And I won't allow it at all. French roads are full of French motorists. I'd be worried sick.
Ever since Claire died, I've kept thinking if only I could have another chance to start from the beginning again. Oh, stupid, I know. Well, now there is the possibility of a fresh start.
With her child?
Our grandson or daughter.
I don't think I don't understand how you feel, love, but you can't turn back the clock, no matter how much you may want to.
There's a chance.
Not if she's had it adopted. Have you thought of that?
We don't know that she has, do we? For all we know, the baby might be in care with someone who's worried out of her mind because Claire hasn't returned. I'll call you each evening on the drive back when I find a hotel for the night.
What will you do with the Mini once you get back?
Take it back to the garage that supplied it. The name's on the tax disc holder, Charles Whitten Motors of Balham.
No, I'm not going to let you drive through France alone.
You won't be able to stop me. Oh, there's something else I want to find out about. Claire's written 2 telephone numbers on the back of our ferry ticket. One for Angoulême in central France and one for Le Havre. I want to know what those numbers meant to Claire.
I'm not going to stop you either. I'm coming with you.
Oh, Pete. Oh, I was hoping you would. We'll go as soon as the doctor says it's all right. You know, driving across Europe in a Mini... It'll bring back your forgotten youth.
It'll bring back my forgotten sciatica. Come on, car.
What's the matter?
Come on, broom, broom.
What are you doing?
Reminding this upholstered roller skate of the noise it's supposed to make.
When did it start?
10 out of 10.
Did you put the battery on charge last night?
Yes, I put the battery on charge last night.
Aha!
England, here we come. You drive much too fast.
I'm making up for your crawling when it's your turn. You keep your eyes open for the Wesker signposts and forget the speedo.
Now, if the good Lord had meant minis to do this speed, he'd have given them bigger wheels.
Is there a mirror in the back of your sun visor?
Yes, why?
See the white escort? 2 cars back.
British registration, what about it?
He's been following us since Valencia. Maybe he was following us before, when you were driving.
Why shouldn't he follow us? This is one of the main routes out of Spain, from the Costa Blanca and the Costa del Sol.
When I slow down, he slows down.
When do you slow down?
Also, given him overtaking opportunities, which he hasn't taken.
Probably prefers to keep you in front, where he can keep a wary eye on you. Look, we need some gasolina. Pull into that filling station. See if he passes. See? There he goes. Your imagination.
This hotel can get frog television. There's a film on in the lounge which is opening a few Spanish eyes. What are you reading?
Claire's touring guide. What pass across the Pyrenees do we use tomorrow? Saint-Port or Portelais?
Which is the least hair-raising?
Saint-Port, I suppose. It's lower and the road is wider.
Isn't Portelais the pass Claire used?
Yeah, looks like it. She's underlined it.
But the two passes are virtually side by side.
So?
Why did she choose the more difficult pass?
They're both over 5,000 feet, love.
It says here that Saint-Port is the old, well-established route. Claire would never...
Oh, I wish you'd stop kidding yourself that you had some sort of mother-daughter bond with Claire that enables you to guess what she did.
Suppose that man out there showing an interest in the mini is also something I'm inventing.
What?
He's moving off. Don't you think it might be a good idea to hire one of the hotel's lock-up garages for the night? I think we should stop at the next garage and buy one.
Do you have any idea what new batteries cost in France? Anyway, it's okay when the engine's warmed up.
It's not as if we can't afford it. There always was a mean streak in you.
A thrifty streak. It's enabled you to enjoy a good life.
Has it?
We'll be in Angoulême in about half an hour. We'll have lunch there. See if we can trace the address of that telephone number.
The white escort's back on our tail.
Well, I expect they could do with a break as well.
Who are you going to ask for?
Shh, leave it to me. Hello, I would like to speak to Jean-Paul, please. That's right, it's Jean-Paul. Oh, he doesn't live there. But he must. But the operator gave me your number. Well, could I have your address, please, so she can check? Yeah, thank you. Avenue de Laura. Thank you very much. I'm sorry to have troubled you.
Cunning.
She sounded English. Oh? 59 Avenue de Laura. Come on.
Look at this baby.
You can get into trouble peering into prams.
He's the image of Claire.
Well, babies all look the same to me.
Oh, don't be so thick. Look at his eyes.
Ah, were you the lady who spoke to me in English on the phone just now?
I am English. Were you the one with the wrong number?
Yes, that was me. I was wondering if you...
Why is she looking in my pram?
Oh, I'm afraid my wife is keen on babies.
Can I just look at him, please?
We're Claire Hilton's parents. We think you knew our daughter. She's written your phone
number.
I've
never heard of her.
Well, she's mentioned you to us.
I don't know anyone of that name.
But surely, Mrs...
Oh, my name's Julian Levan now. I don't know what you're talking about, and I've never heard of... Hey, you leave that pram alone.
I only want to look at him. Has the adoption order been granted yet?
You're not to touch him.
Jane, put him down.
I'll get my husband to call the police if you don't put him down.
Jane, for Christ's sake.
Yes! Yeah!
Of all the stupid, irresponsible things to do, my God, we're lucky not to be in prison.
I'm sorry. Do you want me to repeat it all the way to last?
It makes my blood run cold to think what might have happened if you'd put a stunt like that in Spain.
I'm sorry.
Don't keep saying that.
Well, don't keep on about it then.
We are in luck. They've had a cancellation. We can have what they call a sleeperette on their 11 p.m. sailing. Gets into Southampton at 7 tomorrow morning.
So, we got 4 hours to kill. What do we do?
explore Le Havre, I suppose. Is there anything special you'd like to do?
Yes. I'd like to try that phone number on Claire's ticket.
Oh, no.
Please. It's bound to give us a lead.
A lead into prison. Sorry, not even if you went down on your bended knee. Unobtainable signal.
Try again.
Look, if a number's unobtainable five times, it's not going to be obtainable the sixth.
No, I suppose not. They certainly know how to pack them in.
Is your door locked?
How do we turn the car round to drive off at Southampton?
Oh, I think there are doors both ends. You'd better get anything you'll need overnight out of the car now.
Peter. There's that white escort in the next row. They're still following.
I don't think I can face this breakfast.
Southampton water's changed. Look at the size of that oil refinery now.
I'm more concerned about the size of this meal.
A proper British breakfast. You'll have to start getting used to them for a while. Doesn't it give you a warm feeling inside? Seeing England again after 7 years?
Oh, please don't discuss my insides. Not on a boat.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We will be docking at Southampton in 15 minutes. Passengers are requested to rejoin their vehicles on the car deck. We hope you had a pleasant and comfortable channel crossing.
Oh, you've got to be joking.
Oh, I thought it was quite smooth.
Now, hadn't we better make a move?
No hurry. It won't take 15 minutes to get down to the car deck and shove a nothing to declare sticker on the windscreen.
Oh, no!
Hell! Well, they forced the lock.
Oh, look at it. Every seat ripped open. I mean, just look at it.
Even the door linings.
What are we going to do? We can't drive it like this.
We'll have to.
If the wretched thing will start.
Thank you, sir. Would you both step out of your car a minute, please?
Look, we've had some trouble on the boat. We're supposed to be seeing the police.
Yes, sir. The purse has been in touch with us and the police are on their way. Now, if you'd kindly...
Oh, we've nothing to declare. I've got one of your little stickers out, see? Nothing to declare.
Don't be rude, Peter.
It's Mr. and Mrs. Hilton, isn't it?
We'll have to confess. They know all about it.
Yes, officer. You must excuse my husband.
Someone has torn this car apart.
Looking for something, were they?
Well, I don't suppose they were trying to find out how it worked. They were professionals.
So are we, sir. Now, if you'd kindly step out, we'll start at the back and work our way forward.
No wonder people are leaving the country in droves. Our first visit home in 7 years, and we're treated like criminals.
Peter.
They even yanked the air cleaner off the carburetor. Do you know what that customs officer said? He said it wasn't their responsibility to put the car back together again after they'd pulled it apart.
Peter!
We're taking this car straight to Charles Whitten Motors of Ballard.
Peter, there's something you should know.
What?
You're driving on the wrong side of the road.
All I want to know, Mr. Whitten, is if you'll take it back and settle up with the HP company.
In a state, isn't it?
Yes, it's in a state.
Customs do all that?
Not entirely, but it's nothing that new seats and trim panels won't put right.
Yeah. Sounds like the battery's at it.
Yeah, very likely.
New seats, new door lock, new lining.
Now, look, I don't want a catalogue. What will you offer?
My sympathy.
Thanks.
1600, top whack.
What? As much as that?
I'll be willing to drop a bit.
But I bought a used car guide. You're offering more than I thought I'd get.
The extras, though. If you like, park it over there and come into the office.
No, wait a minute. We need the car for a few days for getting about.
No car, no deal. Oh, can I a clean little Datsun?
No, look, I've only just got used to this one. I don't want to have to cope with a new car and remember to drive on the left. We only need it for a few days.
Okay. You can manage with those seats, why should I care? Only don't go wasting your money on new ones, so I can get factory replacements and the right car.
No, I've no intention of spending a cent on the car. And my only concern is if the money you'll pay for it will cover my daughter's HP debt.
She paid cash.
Huh?
There's no HP debt. She walked into my office with 2G and 20s.
What?
That's what the car cost by the time it was loaded with bolt-ons, extra.
2,000? Cash?
Common these days. people dropping out the tax system. You know, VAT, cash discounts, that sort of thing. Illegal, of course. I don't do it. No. I was running a special promotion scheme in January. 500,000 trading stamps your daughter sent me back.
It's me, Charlie Whitten. Listen, hold on to your crown jewels. Bloody Minnie's turned up, ain't it? Of course I'm flagging, sure. Just been sitting in it, haven't I? Oh, yeah. Now, how could I do that with a girl's father right beside me? Yes, he's in the country. No, I couldn't. Oh, he needs a smoker while he's in London, he said. Look, there's nothing to worry about. I've made him an offer he can't refuse. It's still there because I know it's still there. No, no, that's not part of the deal. Well, it's not my fault the bloody car didn't turn up, is it? I wait like you said. So I thought a new deal. I know where the package is, but I don't know what's in it. You know what's in it, but you don't know where it is. Now I thought, say, 5,000 to pool our knowledge.
This is it. Flat 6, Mrs. C. Reed, caretaker.
Hardly worth taking care of.
Mrs. Reed?
Yeah?
We're Mr. and Mrs. Hilton. Parents of Claire Hilton, who was renting a flat in this block. She was killed in Spain in a road accident while she was visiting us.
Oh.
We've come to settle her affairs. We've got all her papers.
Well, you want to see the flat?
Please. We've got her keys. If we could go up.
I'll have to come with you.
Oh, well, it's no wonder it won't turn. Look, the lock's been forced. Yeah, it's loose. If I give the door a good shove...
Can't do that, Rose.
Do you have the feeling I have, Peter?
Yes. Stand back.
You must not... Just as I thought, the little swine, if I catch him... look at the mess.
Do you know who did it?
I know, all right. Kids. Kids, what's got nothing better to do than go turning other people's flats outside down when they're away? Have to call the police.
Not just yet, please, Mrs. Reed. We'd be grateful if you'd let us have a look round first.
You can't do that. I mean, nothing must be touched. Nothing.
You'll call them later.
If you think it'll be all right.
Is that the kitchen through there? Hadn't you better check to see if anything's missing?
Perhaps I'd better, yeah.
I wish I'd known she was living in a place like this.
Oh, you would have tried to ship her somewhere else and she would have resented it. Whoever turned this flat over, they weren't just bored kids looking for kicks.
How'd you know?
All the drawers in that chest are open. That means the drawers were searched starting from the bottom, so you don't have to close them when you've finished. All good villains are time and motion study experts.
How'd you know that?
Oh, I must have read it somewhere.
I've even read the line out of the poor girl's coat.
What was she mixed up in? Oh, it's becoming one long nightmare. I'm beginning to wish...
We're not giving up now. We'll find her baby and her killer.
We don't know that that was deliberate.
It's beginning to look like it, isn't it?
Oh, little swines have even torn the panel the side of the bath.
Did you see much of Miss Hilton?
I'm not allowed to discuss tenants' rules. Well, most people keep themselves here.
Was she friendly with any of her neighbours?
Saw Colonel at number 18 once or twice.
Who lives there?
Mr. and Mrs. Murray. Well, they left and bought a house when they had a baby. Not suitable for babies, these flats.
Or adults.
Did this Mr. and Mrs. Murray leave a forwarding address? Please, it's very important.
I've got it downstairs. I'll tell you for police now.
Who makes the rules?
Eh?
Who owns or administers this block of flats? The people who pay your wages?
Well, it's on the board outside.
So, where now? The estate managers?
What would be the first thing a girl would do when she suspects she's pregnant?
Well, that depends on whether or not she'd want the baby.
She'd register with a doctor if she's not already down with one. Claire didn't have transport last year, so the chances are her name is with one in walking distance. We buy a street map, go through Yellow Pages, and phone every nearby doctor.
Well, why pick on the doctor?
Because he or she might know what happened to the baby.
If she ever had it.
First thing in the morning, I'll search for a doctor, and you can visit the estate managers of that disgusting block of flats.
come in, Mrs. Hilton. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, but...
The patients come first. Yes, I understand. It's very kind of you to see me, Dr. Ryan.
Have a seat.
Oh, thank you.
So you're Claire Hilton's mother?
Yes.
She hasn't been to see me for some time. How is she?
She was killed in a hit-and-run accident in Spain when she was visiting us earlier this month.
I'm extremely sorry to hear that. Very sorry, Mrs. Hilton.
I expect you know why I've come to see you.
I think I can guess, but I'd prefer it if you told me.
She told me about the baby.
Her little girl?
Yes.
I don't think she did, Mrs. Hilton. How did you find out?
She told me.
She once said to me that she never wanted you or her father to find out. I don't mean to hurt you, but she was adamant. It was a boy, not a girl. He'll be a year old now.
What happened to him?
I'm sorry,
He's my grandson.
Yes, of course. I appreciate that. But Claire's wishes...
Aren't you supposed to be concerned for the living, Doctor? We can offer the child a good home, a first-class education...
Miss Hilton, I'm sorry to have to say this, but Claire wanted you to have nothing to do with her son. She... desperately wanted to keep him, but couldn't afford it. I suggested that she write to you for help, but she said that she'd rather see the baby adopted. And that is exactly what happened. I'm sorry, really I am, but...
Was it arranged through an adoption society?
Yes. And that's all I'm prepared to tell you, Mrs. Hilton. If I can help in any other way...
Well, thank you for helping me, Doctor. I won't take up any more of your time.
It's good of you to inform us, Mr. Hilton. Yes. Ah, here we are. Number 17. No, everything's paid up. No outstanding commitments. Now, that's strange. You said your daughter was the tenant.
Yeah.
Not according to this agreement.
Well, she was living there.
The world being what it is, it doesn't always follow that the registered tenant is the occupier. Especially when the occupier happens to be a young woman.
Then who is the tenant?
We don't know.
It's your block of flats, Mr. Marsh.
Yes, but in the case of number 17, the tenant, whoever he is, has given power of attorney to a firm of West End solicitors. They pay the rent and rates and other charges. Their senior partner was the one who signed the lease on behalf of their client.
Can you tell me their name?
They won't help. That particular firm have a reputation for... shall we say, keeping their cards close to their chest. Mm.
Cravenbrook, Heritage, and Flinders.
Hmm. Their fame has travelled.
I remember them from the days when I was in business. I'm surprised they're not all in prison. Well, thanks for your help, Mr. Martin.
That's extraordinary. Didn't he even tell you the name of the solicitors?
No.
Which is much the same attitude I got from her doctor. Claire wanted us to help her with money so she could keep the child, but he persuaded her to have it adopted.
She wanted us to help. Well, why didn't she tell us instead of letting her doctor talk her out of it?
No, he's a very persuasive man. I got the impression that Claire actually wanted us to look after the child in Spain.
And he talked her out of that?
So it seems.
Damn cheek. So if it hadn't been for him, Claire would have told us all about it.
Yes.
And he refused to give you the name of the adoption society, I suppose.
Yes.
I want to go and see Morris. Can you manage without me for the rest of the day?
Oh, yes, I suppose so. I could go and see the people who used to be in the flat next to Claire's.
A magnificent office suite, Morris. The photos you brought out last Easter don't do it justice.
And as I said in my last report, they're already too small if we're to go ahead with a new computer.
Well, you wait till I give you the okay.
Peter, it's the one thing we're going to need if we've any hope of expanding on existing manpower. I've got all the forecasts lined up if you've got a few moments.
No, another time, Morris. I've got a lot on my plate at the moment.
About Claire? That was a terrible blow, Peter. I was really upset when I got your message. If there's anything I can do...
Cast your mind back 7 years, just before I retired. We had a messenger who got into trouble with the police over something or other.
Ozzie Taylor.
Well, what happened to him?
Well, last I heard, he was running a smutty bookshop in Fifth Street. You're not thinking of taking him on again, are you? He was nothing more than a small-time crook.
Thanks, Morris. I must dash. I'll give you a call to fix up a lunch to discuss that computer.
Look, mister. If you want the magazine, it's £5, but you can't go unwrapping it in here.
Hello, Ozzy. Remember me?
Hey? Oh, it's Mr. Hilton. Oh, well, this is a turn-up. Come in, come in. I thought you'd gone off to the sunshine.
Oh, just back for a quick visit. Look up some old friends. How have you been keeping, you old rogue?
Yeah, look, I'll shut up the shop so we can have a drink.
Hey, I don't want you losing business on my account, Ozzy.
Well, I was going to shut up for a bite. Anyway, do you mind it in a cup, Mr. Hilton?
Oh, anything that'll hold it, Ozzy. No hard feelings, eh, Ozzy?
Oh, of course not, Mr. Hilton. Nice little business like yours. I mean, you didn't have no choice.
No, it's not so little now, Ozzy.
Oh, I'm glad you're doing well, Mr. Hilton. I reckon you deserved it.
So, now you know what it's like running your own business.
Well, it's running me, Mr. Hilton, 15 hours a day.
How the hell do you keep the police out of your small back room?
There isn't one. Hmm? Oh, that's changed now. All my stock's on the shelves. See, the mags wrapped in cellophane are the innocent one. Everyone thinks that they're worse than the ones on open display. Oh, you wouldn't believe my turnover. Look, I get a flat weekly payment, my stock renewed each day, my throat slit if I put my hands in the till, and the best bent lawyers in town if the police put their head round the door.
Cravenbrook, Heritage and Flinders.
Oh, they're still going strong.
Would your friends object to your doing a little job for me?
Oh, so long as it don't clash with their interests, Mr. Hilton.
Well, it's nothing difficult. A little B&E, Ozzy.
Ooh. See, breaking and entering's definitely illegal, Mr. Hilton. The nice thing about pushing this stuff is that the judges and the lawyers can't make up their minds about it.
Well, I don't want you to steal anything or leave any trace of your visit. A doctor's surgery in Southwest 11. A photograph of all the documents in a patient's file.
Yeah, see, I don't know, Mr. Hilton. Private visits to the doctor come expensive.
How about 2.5?
Free.
Okay. The patient is Claire Hilton. I'll write the address down.
Any relation, Mr. Hilton?
My daughter. She's been murdered, Ozzy.
Sorry to hear that, Mr. Hilton.
And the one who's going to be really sorry is the one who did it.
You near to him?
Getting nearer all the time, Ozzy. That's the address. Come on, stupid bloody car. Damn. Come on. Come on. Don't stall on me.
There you are, sir. Try that.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, what did I tell you? US battery. Nothing wrong with a starter motor. That'll be £20.
Oh, but the car's still under guarantee with you.
Well, you'll have to see Mr. Whitten about that. But he's not come in today. That's funny, though. He usually phones me if he's not turning up.
Do you remember this car being supplied?
Oh, nice-looking bird she was. I put the sunshine roof in and did the loading.
Loading?
You know, fitting all the goodies like. It's funny, though. Mr. Whitten did the pre-delivery check himself. He took a personal interest in this sale.
What does the check involve?
Oh, the usual. Track alignment, wheel balancing, brake setting, tyre pressures, all that sort of thing. He even worked late on it by himself in a workshop.
Oh, did he now? Can you let me have Mr. Whitten's private address, please?
The minute's pulled up outside, he can park in the next street or something.
Our Mr. Hilton likes to create an air of innocence.
He's coming up the path. Why doesn't he go straight round the back?
That's for the benefit of anyone who's watching.
Whitten! Come on, Whitten. I know you're in there. It's Peter Hilton. I want a word with you.
A bit undignified, shouting through the letterbox.
Lets the neighbourhood down. He's going round the back.
He's certainly trying to impress someone, Stanley.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
He'll repeat the performance at the back door before he breaks in. He's predictable. All the way across Spain and France, he was predictable, wasn't he?
Come on, Whitten, I know you're in there. Open up.
Now he'll break the glass, Stanley. Predictable.
Whitten? It's Peter Hilton. Where are you hiding?
Cover the door. He's going into the back room. Naturally. Come on.
Right. Whitten? Whitten?
Hey, Whitten, what's the matter? Come on, wake up. Come on, Whitten, what's the matter?
He's dead, Mr. Hilton. That's what's the matter.
Who the hell are you?
Detective Inspector Boyd. This is Detective Sergeant Rhys. Show him your warrant card, Stanley.
Whitten's dead. Why? I don't understand.
Heart attack.
Well, then, what are you...
Caused by electric shocks to his neck, his mouth, and his...
Murder?
Well, if it's not, then it's the worst case of suicide I've ever come across. You really blew it, didn't you?
Blew what?
The fuses. You see? No lights.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about.
In that case, it's a good job I do. I'd like you to come with us, please, Mr. Hilton.
Why?
Because we've been waiting here 3 hours for you to show up, and we're both dying for a drink.
I don't have to go anywhere with you if I don't want to.
Do him the honors, Stanley.
Peter Lewis Hilton, you've been arrested in connection with the murder of Charles Whitten, proprietor of Charles Whitten Motors, between 10 p.m. last night and 3 a.m. this morning. Do you wish to say anything? You're not obliged to say anything unless you wish to do so. But anything you do say will be taken down.
Then young Barney over there came along, so we had to leave the flat. And I had to give up my job.
Did you know that Claire wasn't renting the flat in her own name, Mrs. Murray?
Call me Angie. Oh,
Angie.
Yes, I did know. She used to come in for a chat when she was feeling lonely. She was quite a friendly girl, really.
Did she tell you who was paying for the flat?
No. We never asked her. Oh, excuse me a minute. He likes full-time attention, don't you, you little devil?
Come on, then.
Oh, can I hold him, please?
Well, I'm not sure.
Just for a minute.
There, my little precious. Your mummy abandoned you.
What a noisy little boy, then. Look, I'd really rather you let me, dead you.
I used to have a way with babies. Mummy. Oh, he does look like you, doesn't he?
Yes. That's what everyone says.
You know that Claire had a baby, Mrs. Murray?
Yes. Over a year ago now.
Do you know what happened to the child?
No.
Well, she had it adopted. Surely she told you that.
Oh, yes, that's right. She wanted to keep it, but she couldn't afford it.
Well, if only she'd written to me.
Well, I remember her saying she didn't want you to find out.
I see.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. And you don't know who was paying her rent?
No. But I saw him several times, if it was him.
Who?
Oh, I never knew what his name was. That's it, love. He used to come round in a Jag. Claire used to hide from him in our flat while she was expecting.
What did he look like?
Very tall, dark, wavy hair.
If only she'd written.
Would you like another cup of tea?
Did she have any other friends?
Only us.
And she never said who the father was?
No. I didn't like to ask. She wasn't the sort of girl you could talk to easily. You got the feeling she liked being with us. Not to talk or anything like that, but because she wanted to feel part of the family. When she did talk about when she was a kid, it was always about her schools, never about home. She was lucky to have been to so many nice schools, France and Switzerland.
Do you know the name of the adoption society she went to?
No. Must have been a terrible shock for you, seeing her run over like that.
Yes.
We would have sent flowers if we'd known.
Oh, he seems to have fallen asleep. Perhaps you'd better take him now.
Yes.
There you go, there.
And I've got to get a meal on for Roy. He'll be home soon.
Oh, you've been very helpful, Angie. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, Barney. He's very sweet, isn't he?
Yes. That's what everyone says.
Can I ring you if I think of anything else?
Well, we're not on the phone.
Oh, well, bye then, and thank you.
Bye. Oh, you hear that, Barney? Oh, she thought you looked like me. Oh, Barney, it's all right, love. It's all right. It'll only be...
Peter, I'm back. Peter, where are you? Peter? Reception, please. This is Mrs. Hilton, room 269. Has my husband left a message for me, please? He hasn't. Has he? No, it's all right. Thank you.
You still haven't told me why I should want to kill Charlie Whitten.
Well, there's 500 reasons, Mr. Hilton. 500 carats in uncut diamonds that were lifted from London Airport early this year. Charlie Whitten hid them in your daughter's mini before she took it out of the country. He was one of the best in the business, wasn't he? If you want something hidden, call on Charlie Whitten.
Look, I've no idea what you're talking about.
The only snag is that Charlie has this rule about never disclosing his hiding places. That's why he left the country on a private charter flight from Shoreham. So he'd be in Bordeaux for when Claire turned up. Except she didn't. Right, Mr. Hilton?
I want to talk to my solicitor.
What went wrong, Mr. Hilton?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm getting tired of repeating myself.
Not as tired as you will be. You'll talk in less than 20 hours. You'll tell us how you visited Charlie Whitten last night. How you tied him to a chair and tortured him into telling you where, on your daughter's car, he'd hidden the diamonds.
Look, I want
to... What you won't tell us is about Charlie's heart condition. Because you didn't know about that, did you? Otherwise, you wouldn't have used electricity. Right?
I want to talk to my solicitor.
And you overdid it when you stuck the wires in his mouth. Charlie dies on you, and the fuse is blue. You panicked and cleared out as fast as you could.
Look, I didn't even know Charlie Whitten.
You were seen talking to him the other day.
I was selling my daughter's mini back to him. His name's on the tax disc holder.
By this morning, you'd calmed down a bit. You started thinking. You thought that if you went back to his place and cleared that up, there was a chance his death would be put down to natural causes. But you left it too late. The woman who cleaned for him found his body.
I'd never been to his house before, until today, when you were already there.
You knew the fuses were blown, Mr. Hilton. You'd use the door knocker instead of the bell.
How do you know I didn't press the bell first, and then use the knocker?
It's a good point. Is that what you did?
Yes. Now, can I call my solicitor?
Only one snag. Charlie Whitten's front door hasn't got a bell. That's a good sign, Mr. Hilton. You started lying. The sooner a suspect starts lying, the sooner we get to the truth. It must have been maddening having to bring that car home, yet knowing that you were within a few feet of the stones all the time. Well, two Heathrow experts are going to examine it tomorrow. They've got some of the latest Rapidex X-ray equipment. They'll find that package, even if it's hidden in the mini subframe.
I don't know anything about a package.
Oh, grow up, Mr. Hilton. Do you think we pulled your name out of a hat? Stanley Reese and I followed Claire all the way from London to Alicante. We saw her park the car. We saw your Rolls turn up in the evening with you and your wife. You parked near us. We even saw Claire hit by that VW.
You saw that?
We saw everything. Oh, who was it?
Tell me, who was it? I want to know.
All right, Mr. Hilton. Well, sit up for that. Well, thank you, Stanley.
Shall I stay?
Please, tell me who it was. I'll sign anything, only please tell me.
No, you wait outside, Stanley. Right. Now, if we knew who it was, we'd tell you. It was a surprise for us.
I suppose it was one of you two thugs who broke into my garage and hit me over the head.
Oh, we didn't know about that. What happened?
You tell me. You were doing the following.
Not all the time. We didn't have to. We planted a trace on the mini before Claire left for Southampton. A little radio transmitter squawking away day and night with a range of 10 miles. We've got it back now.
Running down the Minnie's battery all the time.
I wouldn't know. Detective Sergeant Stanley Reese is the expert.
Well, that explains one thing.
I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't matter. So, it was you two who followed Jane and me back to England.
Not all the time. Sometimes we drove in front.
Oh, very good. A bit amateur, though, ripping the Minnie's seats open like that.
Not guilty. We had a look at it while you were having breakfast before the boat docked. It was a rush job, but it wasn't amateur. Now, supposing we get back to you answering my questions.
Not until I've talked to my solicitor.
Afterwards?
Now, I'm entitled to contact a solicitor.
You're entitled to consult a solicitor, Hilton, provided such consultation doesn't interfere with the investigation or impede the admin of justice. If I was to allow some of your barrister friends in on the action, the interfering and impeding would be slightly colossal.
Mr. Boyd.
Oh, anything?
Looks like you're going to have to chuck him out.
Hey?
Well, the door-to-door's turned up a surprise. A couple indulging themselves in a car park near Charlie Whitten's house last night saw a man leave it around 1:30. He walked into the next street. They had a car starter. He drove past the end of the road. They didn't get the make, but it definitely wasn't a Minnie.
The description?
Oh, not much. Tall, about 6'2". Dark, wavy or curly hair, but not sure. Smoking a cigar. Doesn't sound like sunshine, does it? Oh, and something else. You're up Violet Creek with the commander. Hilton's wife's reported him as a missing person.
Okay. All right, Mr. Hilton. You can go.
What?
You've helped us with our inquiries. Now you can go.
Without an explanation?
That was one. As you think. We're hanging on to the Minnie for a bit.
Well, I need it.
We'll give you a receipt.
I can't drive a receipt. How do I get back to my hotel at this time of night?
Fix him up with a car to run him home, Stanley.
Right, sir. You'll be hearing from my solicitors in the morning.
That's all right, Mr. Hilton. If you want to sue me, you'll have to stay in the country. Save me having to take your passport away.
Oh, Mr. Hilton. We were wondering what had happened to you.
So was I. Is my wife in?
Well, she's in her room. She's been worried out of her mind.
I suppose it's too late for something to eat.
Well, the hotel kitchens are closed. I might be able to get the night porter to bring you up some sandwiches and coffee.
Oh, thanks. You could send something up to 269.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hilton, but the lifts are switched off after 1 p.m. It's so expensive calling out an engineer after midnight if they go wrong. I'm afraid you'll have to use the stairs.
You're breaking my arm.
I will if you don't tell us where the Minnie is.
Look up.
Who wants to know?
Where is it?
Come on, talk. The Minnie.
Talking didn't do Charlie Whitman.
We've been waiting 8 hours in the hotel car park for you. Where's the Minnie?
You'll laugh when I tell you.
Where?
All right, I'll tell you. And if you don't believe me, I've got a receipt. Jane, I'm back. Mm-hmm. Oh, wake up, love.
Peter, where the hell have you been? Do you know what time it is?
4 a.m.
You were supposed to be back by 6.
But, all right, I'm sorry.
What happened?
Well, I ran into Morris and we had a few drinks. And then a few more at his place. Well, you know what Morris is like when he gets going.
Party?
Yes, sort of.
Well, you could have run.
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
I didn't. I ran everyone I could think of, including Morris.
Well, let's talk it over in the morning, otherwise we'll both start saying things we'll regret later.
Someone rang for you. He didn't leave a message, but he'd like you to call him. His name's Ozzy.
Ozzy? Oh, yes, you can wait.
Wake up, please, Mr. Hilton. Up you get, Mr. Hilton. Come on.
I didn't order morning coffee. Who are you? Peter.
Detective Inspector Boyd. Detective Sergeant Reese. Sorry to wake you like this, Mrs. Hilton, but you didn't answer the phone.
Peter, wake up.
Yes, I heard. What do you want now?
We'll wait outside.
while you get dressed, Mr. Hilton.
I'm not in the mood for hilarity.
Where's that mini, Mr. Hilton?
Can't you see the funny side? A car stolen from your own car park.
Where is it?
Would you believe me if I said I didn't know?
No.
Well, then there's not much point in my telling you that I don't know. I suppose I can always sue you for losing.
Yeah, you laugh louder when you see the charge sheet. Preparing it is giving Stanley righteous cramp. We're starting with conspiring to rob a security firm of 500 carats of uncut diamonds and working through to obstructing a police inquiry and wasting police time.
Well, it's obvious what's happened. Witten told his killer or killers where he'd hidden the diamonds on the mini.
Meaning he told you?
Well, if he told me, don't you think I would have had the diamonds out of the car by now? Why should I run the risk of taking the mini from your car park if I already had them?
Unless you were covering your tracks.
Well, I haven't got your devious mind. Or the mini now. And I certainly haven't got the diamonds. I knew nothing about them until you told me.
Then why did your daughter take them out to you in Spain?
Well, if that had been the plan, why did Charlie Whitten fly to Bordeaux and not Alicante? If he was the only one who knew where they were hidden, he could easily have taken a scheduled flight from Gatwick to Alicante.
So you put your finger on the one thing that doesn't fit.
Well, nothing fits.
It depends on your point of view, doesn't it? Your daughter made a beeline for you. How do you think we knew enough to know what she was up to in the first place?
I wouldn't know.
Through that bunch of courtroom cowboys who call themselves solicitors, Gravenbrook Heritage and Flinders. We've been keeping tabs on all their clients.
Well, I thought they were a reputable firm. If you think I should change...
Reputable? There's a bench you can pull corks out with them.
Well, why are you telling me all this? Aren't you worried that I'll go raising the alarm once you're forced to let me go again?
Oh, it gives me an incentive to hang on to you this time. Huh? You were the only one who knew where that mini was. You'll be appearing in court tomorrow and we'll oppose bail. If we lose out, we grab you on something else outside the court. Easy. Excuse me. The boy. What?
Portsmouth. When? What do you mean they can't start it? Well, get them to put a new one in. I'm being perfectly serious. Now do it and call me back immediately.
So the mini's turned up in Portsmouth.
That's right, an hour ago.
Can I go now? Or do you think it's possible for me to take the car from your car park, drive it to Pompey and be back in bed in time for you to pick me up?
Boyd. Well, why the hell didn't you tell me it was gone in the first place? Okay, I can't talk now. I'll call you back.
So, what's missing?
Oh, you bloody well know what's missing.
I've no idea, Mr. Boyd.
The battery. That's what's missing. The bloody battery.
Battery? The battery.
I've got a right to know what Claire was mixed up in. You must tell me, Peter.
I don't know.
It was drugs, wasn't it? You read a lot about people smuggling drugs into Spain.
It was nothing to do with that, I promise you.
Then why have the police been harassing you?
Oh, the Southampton police tipped off the Metropolitan Police about the ripped seats in the mini. They were curious, that's all.
I was hoping you'd tell me the truth. That sergeant told me why they wanted you. They think you were involved in the murder of that garage owner the night before last.
Well, I wasn't. They came to the same conclusion.
Peter, let's go home.
Well, don't you want to find the baby?
We won't find it now.
Do you want to find it?
Yes. But I'm frightened.
What of?
You.
Why?
Doesn't matter. You wouldn't understand.
I've got a couple of visits to make. I won't be more than an hour.
Where?
Well, firstly, to Whitten Motors, if they're still in business, to hire a car. Oh, there's a taxi. I'll see you at the hotel in an hour. Taxi!
Where's the mini, sir? Don't say that new battery's let you down.
No, someone hit it while it was parked. I'd like...
Have you seen the papers about Mr. Whitten?
Oh, unbelievable.
It doesn't make sense. Never keeps money in the house.
Everything goes in the bank.
The Mini's a write-off. I'd like to buy that second-hand Volvo. I need it now.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, can't you sell your stock?
Well, yeah. The bank's asked me to act as manager. I was thinking about clearing your check.
Oh, I'll pay cash. Can I take it now?
Well, what about a test run? I mean, you want a test run. Everyone has a test run.
Well, if there's anything wrong with it, I'll bring it back. All you got to do is peel all those stickers off the windscreen, okay?
If you're sure.
Oh, yes, there was something else. Have you still got the old battery you took out of the Mini?
Hmm? It's in the workshop.
I'd like it back, please.
It's no good. I checked it. Now it puts 8 volts instead of 12. A couple of duff cells, I reckon.
Well, it'll do for the emergency lighting on my boat in Spain. Batteries cost a fortune over there. I'm sorry. I should have thought of it at the time.
It's okay. I'll shove it in the Volvo's boot for you.
What did you want to buy it for? We'll only have the problem of selling it before we fly home.
We'll drive home. We'll take a week over getting back. Do a bit of exploring in France. Now, I've got to see someone on business. Which end of Oxford Street do you want me to drop you?
I want to come with you.
You'll be bored.
I don't care.
Suit yourself. But you'll be sorry. It's okay, I'll say. Jane knows all about it.
About what?
She thinks I'm going to buy some of your stock, I'll say.
Half a dozen prints, Mr. Hildon.
Well done, I'll say.
That's no trouble. He had a straightforward alphabetical filing system. Took me less than 3 minutes.
What are they?
Just a minute, love. This is everything.
Yes, Mr. Hilton. Everything.
Oh, what was all that about?
Ossie took some pictures for me.
I gathered that. What of?
See for yourself. It's a photograph of a carbon copy. Not very clear, but readable.
It's from Claire's doctor.
That's right. To Miss Seagray, Secretary of the Home County's Adoption Society. I thought we'd pay her a visit.
Thank you, Sarah. That's all for the moment.
Yes, Miss Gray.
Please, help yourself.
Thank you.
What we would like to know, Miss Gray, is...
What I'd like to know, before we go any further, is how you found out that your daughter came to this adoption society... All our dealings with unsupported mothers and adoptive parents are in the strictest confidence.
Well, Claire told us.
I find that hard to believe.
Why?
Claire was in this office, sitting in that chair you're sitting in, Mrs. Hilton, when she made it plain that she didn't want you to know about the child. In such cases, we do our best to persuade the girl to tell her parents. We've had cases where the girls wanted the baby back before the adoption order's been granted. It causes a great deal of distress all round.
Claire changed her mind and told us. Didn't she, Jane?
Yes.
Can you tell us who has the baby, please?
No.
Why not?
Peter, please. Normally, not even the mother knows who the baby goes to. It's our responsibility to ensure it goes to a home where it will be loved and cared for, and the mother's wishes regarding religious upbringing will be respected.
Has the adoption order been granted? Well?
Peter, I don't think
you keep out of this. Has the adoption order been granted?
As Claire's dead, it's now a confidential matter between us and the prospective adoptive parents.
Prospective? So, Claire hadn't given her consent to the adoption order going through.
It's a confidential matter that has nothing to do with you. I'm sorry if that sounds harsh.
The baby is our grandchild.
I do understand how you feel, but you must realize that the baby's been looked after by its prospective parents for some months now. They adored it. It's in a marvelous home environment, and they now regard it as theirs. The court would take all that into consideration. They always put the interests of the child first.
If it's gone to such a marvellous home, how is it Claire hadn't let the adoption go through?
Who said she hadn't?
Oh, come on. You were the one who started spouting about the courts and what they would decide.
I'd be grateful if you went now. In future, if you want to see me, I'd appreciate it if you would arrange an appointment.
Is this your registered office? My solicitors will want the correct address.
Please, Peter, come on. Claire didn't take after you, Mr. Hilton. She had a very pleasant manner.
I've never been so embarrassed in my life. I'd no idea you could behave like that.
Well, if you want something, you've got to fight for it.
I've never known you be so rude.
Which shows how little you know me. Do you think I got where I am by letting people like her ride roughshod over me?
I don't know what to think. Are we going to sit here in the car all afternoon?
The Adoption Society office will be closing soon.
I suppose you're thinking of burgling it.
Oh, one of my business axioms has always been to get other people to do my dirty work.
Dear God. And paying the owner of that dreadful bookshop to break into Dr. Ryan's surgery was a normal business transaction for you.
I've never paid anyone to do a burglary before. It's about everything else, though.
So our respectable shipping and forwarding agency is nothing more than
a front.
For what?
Anything that makes money. Although, oddly enough, the genuine shipping and forwarding side of the business has always shown a good profit. Not enough to enable us to retire when we did, and for you to have anything you wanted, though.
Drugs?
Oh, it's 7 years since I was running the business.
Morris comes out every 3 months. For his latest instructions, I suppose.
He takes the risks. I take 51%. He doesn't complain.
I should have guessed.
But you didn't. Here she comes. I'll do the talking. You keep quiet. Sarah! Sarah! Over here.
Hello? Oh, aren't you the couple who were with Miss Gray just now?
Get in, Sarah. We'll give you a lift.
I'm only down the end of the road.
No, we just want to talk to you. It won't take a minute.
I don't think I should be talking to you. Miss Gray's got strict rules.
Well, how long have you been working for the Adoption Society?
A couple of months. What's it to you?
Do you want to make a career with them?
Do me a favour.
They don't pay you very much.
They don't chuck it about. What's it to you, anyway?
How would you like to earn £300?
Kinky or something.
£300, Sarah. For 3 minutes' work. Maybe less.
Doing what?
I want you to find out the name and address of the couple who adopted Claire Hilton's baby.
I couldn't do that.
Why not?
I'll get shot.
It's only a matter of looking in a file.
Well, what if I get caught?
Oh, they won't do anything. They wouldn't want the publicity, would they? It's the last thing an adoption society wants. Now, just think of all the clothes and LPs 300 quid would buy.
My God.
Shut up. Well, Sarah?
You got it on you?
Yes.
Show us.
Oh, you get the information first. When could you get it? Tomorrow lunchtime?
Well, 300?
15 £20 notes.
I could get it now. She left early and gave me the keys to lock up.
Even better. There's no risk, is there?
Give me 10 minutes.
Is that how you've gone through life? Bribing people? Paying them to commit crimes for you?
I've never forced people to do anything against their will. Everyone has his price, and I've usually been prepared to pay it.
For 30 years?
20. It all started with a character who came into my office who wanted me to import a special consignment from Nice. He paid well. He was back a month later with more business, and so it went on. One night, the river police fished his body up near Wapping, and I was left with a valuable load on my hands. It turned out to be heroin. Well, I could hardly go to the police with it, so I hunted round for a buyer. 10,000 he paid me. And there was plenty more. It was a seller's market. So I became a seller.
And you've managed to stay out of trouble all these years.
Well, the police came close 7 years ago. Morris tipped me off in exchange for a share. I accepted.
Every man has a price.
And woman.
The copying machine was still warm, so I did you these.
Oh, these are marvellous. There's even a letter from Claire here, Jane. Where's the name and address?
This one.
Ah, yes.
The procedure was different in her case. She already had someone lined up to adopt the baby and just wanted us to look after the legal
stuff. Can I see the letter Claire wrote, please?
What does this form mean?
Peter, this letter's dated July of this year, just before she came out. Dear Miss Gray, I'm sorry I still haven't given my consent, but I'm hoping to soon be in a position to look after Barney without having to worry about money. I know it's going to be very difficult for you to explain to Angie and Roy Murray. Angela Murray? But they've always known that having Barney might not be permanent, and I'm sure they'll understand. I'm going away for a few days' holiday and will come and see you when I get back. Yours sincerely, Claire.
What about the money?
Barney! I had him on my knee. Oh, I never guessed.
Claire's neighbours at the flat?
Yes, Angie. She said he was her baby.
What about my money?
What?
The money. 300.
Oh. Here.
300? She's not even 50.
That's all you're getting. Now run along.
You promised. You swine. You did £300. You give it me.
Peter, you can't treat her like that.
She's got enough. Look, you'll have to learn, Sarah, that if you want to lead a life of crime, you have to deal with crooks. Now go on, get out.
You promised.
Look, there's the law over there. Go and tell your troubles to him.
Sarah, just a minute. Here, have this. It's worth something. I've seen a side of you that I would never have thought existed. Never in a million years.
Not in 30, at any rate. Look, I've done the girl a favor. She'll think twice before she trusts anyone again. What did you give her?
My watch. The one you gave me for our 21st.
Oh, you're crazy, woman. Do you know what that was worth 9 years ago?
I don't care. Where are we going?
To catch Cravenbrook.
Why?
You know why. To get him to switch on his legal machine to get us custody of the child.
The Murrays have been looking after him for the best part of a year.
And what's that got to do with it? Claire's withheld consent to the adoption order going through.
But the Murrays have had him for a year.
All we've got to do is open Cravenbrook's cage, and he and his fellow sharks will have that argument for breakfast.
Mrs. Gray said that the courts always consider the best interests of the child.
And courts always consider the most convincing arguments, and always find in their favor. And money buys argument.
I don't think you understand.
What?
I don't want us to have the child.
Say that again.
I want the Murrays to keep him.
You mean after I've gone to all that trouble?
I was right. You don't understand.
You're dead right I don't. Can they afford it?
You don't need a cost-effectiveness study to decide whether you can afford to bring up a child.
Just money.
Like we brought up Claire.
We gave her the best.
We gave her nothing. You always used to make out it was my fault. But now when I look back, I realize it was you. You were the one who wanted her to go to expensive boarding schools, not me. It was never me that sent for details on all those schools, but they turned up. What school would you like Claire to go to, Jane? And I, like a gullible fool, would worry until I picked one. And you'd go around telling everybody what a marvellous choice I'd made. What were you trying to do? Buy off your conscience?
I always wanted the best for her. You once said yourself that she wasn't what one would call a home-loving girl.
How could she love what she'd never had? Angela Murray said that Claire used to go and sit with them a lot. Not talking or anything, just sitting there. As if all she wanted was to become part of their family. Claire knew what she was doing when she didn't tell us about the baby.
I loved her, you know.
Yes, in your funny way, I believe you did. Come on. Let's go back to the hotel. You'll have to make my excuses to Morris this evening. I don't think I could sit through dinner listening to his jokes.
Food's out of this world, Miss Glass. I told you it'd be good. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. If we go ahead with the computer, for an extra $2,000 a year, we can have a direct link to the ShipVac computer. Have day-to-day shipping gen at our fingertips. Save a fortune on telephone calls. Oh, sorry, Peter. You were going to say?
Why didn't you tell me you were having an affair with Claire, Morris?
Did she tell you that?
I found out.
It was a long time ago.
How long?
18 months. Maybe a bit longer. Look, Peter, it's not as if she was a kid or anything.
She had a baby.
She didn't. She couldn't have.
She had a baby, Morris. A year ago, July.
Well, that explains why she wouldn't see me. I used to call at the flat, but she was never in or pretending not to be. If only she'd said...
You set her up in a flat.
Has Cravenbrook been talking?
You should have used another solicitor. But I didn't find out from him.
Peter, it's not as bad as it sounds, I swear. Claire had been drifting through a whole series of jobs. She'd been caught shoplifting and called me as a last resort. Cravenbrook got her off the hook. I wanted to tell you, but she begged me not to. I couldn't let her go back to her old dens. So I rented the flat for her and gave her some money each week.
You should have told me.
She swore she'd kill herself if I did. I fixed it up with Johns. She couldn't hold one down for more than a month. Peter, she was inadequate. She couldn't cope with people.
The baby was yours?
It must have been.
So how did she get involved with the business?
I was tipped off at the beginning of the year about some jobs coming up that needed a carrier vehicle. As I wouldn't be needing the car for some months, and Claire was seeing me again, I didn't think it would hurt to let her have the car in the meantime.
So, you gave her 2G and told her to collect the Mini from Charlie Whitten.
Yes.
And you let her become a courier.
She wanted to earn some money, a lot of money. Thought she knew something about it, so I agreed. Anyway, with Charlie Whitten fixing up the Mini, I knew she'd be safe. All she had to do was drive to Bordeaux, where Charlie would be waiting for her. After that, she was free to drive on to Spain to see you and Jane.
She didn't turn off at Bordeaux.
No.
You know why? Because the police followed her. She spotted them and panicked. Perhaps she thought I would help out.
Well, that explains it. We couldn't figure out what went wrong.
Who was the job for?
I thought you knew. The Kairos brothers.
What? I told you never to work for those thugs. No wonder the police are onto you.
They fixed it up through Cravenbrook. I didn't know the package was theirs until they came into my office the other day. I wanted to know where Charlie Whitten lived. He'd given them the slip at Bordeaux when Claire didn't turn up.
Kairos brothers. I never realized.
They tried to involve me in Charlie's killing by calling me round to his house. I got out when I realized what they were going to do.
One of them phoned me in Spain the day before Claire was due. He wanted my advice on courier discipline. I thought he was calling from London.
He what?
He asked me what I used to do about couriers who didn't obey orders.
What did you say?
It wasn't something I could discuss on the phone, was it?
What did you say?
I didn't know you dragged Claire into the business.
What did you say?
I said it was up to him to deal with couriers in his own way.
You said what?
I didn't know, did I? You called on the same thing.
You realize what you did. You as good as signed Claire's death warrant yourself.
And you signed yours the day you got my daughter involved.
What do you mean?
I've arranged for someone to kill you. After I've left the country for home, of course.
You're putting me off my dinner.
I'm serious, Morris.
But I've explained.
It doesn't change anything.
Now, look, Peter, there's only one person in Europe you could hire, and not even you could afford him.
I'm paying him in uncut diamonds. 500 carats.
You've got them. I don't believe it.
Charlie Whitten hid them in the Mini's battery. He converted two of its cells to dummies by shorting them out.
You're kidding. I'm going to hide him. I can skip the country.
He's in this restaurant right now. You won't pick him out, Morris. He could be anyone. Even that bishop. Or the Arab, perhaps. I've given him 2 months. If he doesn't kill you within that time, then he's to let you live. Home.
Another 450 miles.
Well, over the border is home.
Oh, there's still some snow up there, look.
Well, do you feel better now? You said you would once we were back in Spain.
You mean, do I think we can make a fresh start?
Yes.
I suppose that's something you can always try with a marriage. Children you don't have a second chance with, you've got to get it right the first time.
There's something I've got to tell you. I wanted it to be a surprise for when we got back home. I've severed all my interests with the agency.
That's the best news I've heard in weeks.
It means we'll have to sell the villa. Lead a simpler life.
I think I'd like that. What'll happen to Morris?
Oh, he'll be sweating for a couple of months, but he'll survive. Oof. Cold?
Hmm. Oh, didn't Morris know what those French telephone numbers on Claire's ferry ticket meant?
Phone numbers?
Angoulême and Love.
Oh, those. I worked out what they were. Speedometer readings.
Oh.
They looked just like French numbers without the area codes.
Oof.
Chilly?
Hmm, a bit.
Well, put the heater on.
Aha. Doesn't seem to be blowing out warm air on my side.
My fault. I haven't got Charlie Whitten's imagination.
Sorry?
Oh, forget it. Keep your eyes open for the Jacko signposts.
In The Spanish Package by James Follett, the part of Jane was played by Irene Sutcliffe and that of Peter by Michael Harper. Alan was played by Gavin Campbell, Gillian by Jane Knowles, who also played Sarah. Customs Officer Michael Tudor Barnes, who also played Detective Sergeant Reese and the third tourist. Witten, Michael Goldie. Mrs. Reed, Shirley Dixon, who also played the hotel receptionist. Dr. Ryan, Peter Howell. Marsh, James Thomason. Morris, Jonathan Scott. Ozzie, Walter Hall. Garage mechanic, Paul Meyer, who also played the first tourist and the ruffian. Detective Inspector Boyd, Bruce Beebe. Angela, Nicolette McKenzie, who also played the second tourist and the loudspeaker voice. And Miss Gray, Joan Matheson. The play was produced and directed by David H. Godfrey.